a sweet Welsh sweet, and I'm going to make a total fool of myself by trying to pronounce the titles. Morfar Frenhens, Pidor Post Iguili, Bwysid, and Missen in I Menig.
Not bad.
I've been taking Welsh lessons from Les Barker, of all people. He's moved from Manchester to Wales and got me interested in the language. But no, please do not grade me on those. But here for a child's Christmas in Wales, as they have been for so many years, David Stuart Bull, Chico Schwal, and Linda Danielson, welcome back to the Saturday Cafe.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
David, you want to move the mic so that you can see the diamond? Just a little.
Yeah.
Or yourself.
Okay.
Frank, nice of you to dress seasonally. I love the leprechaun lederhosen. they're just great.
You can't. I'm not wearing pants. This is radio.
That's why I always make a side gag.
They can't see that I've got my hair up in curves and I'm wearing a chenille bathrobe, can they?
And I just came off the chimneys wearing my chimney top hat.
It's a lovely chimney top hat. It works very well. Child's Christmas in Wales. Now, most places where they do holiday reading type series, it's something from A Christmas Carol. NPR for years, it was Truman Capote's Christmas Story, which I thought was a little bit on the odd side, but why A Child's Christmas in Wales? What's your story with this story, David?
Okay. My story is I was born in Worcestershire, England, which is in the western part of England, just one county over from the border of Wales. And our Christmases were very much like the Christmases that Dylan Thomas describes in this story. When I read it for the first time as an adult, 21 years of age, it just resonated so well with me. It was a dead ringer for the Christmases that I remember as a child growing up in Worcester. And all the little adventures that the characters in the story have are almost exact sort of things that I would experience, you know, the adventures on Christmas Day, you know, the going out into the snow, the uncles and aunts, and the little sort of ghost stories and this kind of thing. And anyway, it resonated so well with me, and I think over the years it's resonated with Dylan Thomas's public. Although it doesn't get quite as much play, anyway, else except Eugene. I wonder why. But occasionally, maybe sometimes on a classical music station, you will get a reading of Dylan Thomas reading this story. And it is quite enchanting, and I hope you're listeners enjoy it.
I remember hearing once that the bit that sticks in my mind is him saying, "Mr. Daniels looks like a spaniel."
We'll get to that point today.
Oh, lovely. Is that what makes a great Christmas story, that sort of shared experience that rings bells in all of our memories?
I believe so. You know, just about every audience we have always comment on, "Well, I didn't grow up in Wales, but I had the same kind of experience, you know."
And as soon as the Coen brothers make a movie about Dylan Thomas, we'll be in.
I always say if they did a tracking of how many stories, books of A Child's Christmas in Wales have been sold in the United States, Eugene, Oregon would have a huge blip.
We would be the big red spot on that map.
We hope so.
Well, you originally performed it as a solo piece. When did you start connecting with these musicians?
Okay, well, the first time I did it as a solo piece was on a skiing holiday up at Christmas time at Timberline Lodge, Mount Hood. And I wanted to pay for my supper plus. And so I asked the manager if I could do the story solo in the right in front of the big fireplaces with their drooling St. Bernard dogs. And I did two or three readings over the course of a weekend, and the manager was so pleased. He treated us to Christmas dinner on the house and free ski lift tickets. The next Christmas, I said, "Hey, I'm onto a good thing." I did the story solo for a couple of years at the Cafe Central, which is now Cafe Soraya. And I thought to myself, well, this program needs a little bit of something extra, I think music. And I was cleaning Linda Danielson's chimney one day. I'm a chimney sweep by trade. And I said, "Linda, do you think you might be able to help me out here?" And the rest is history.
Wow, swept off your Chimney. Well, Linda and Chico are tuned up and ready. We should hear some music, would you please?
Great. We're going to do a song called Aramana Minute, and it's about all the little birds on the mountain. Used to send messages to your sweetheart by giving it to a little bird, which is, I guess, why we still call them tweets.
That was quick.
Skinny them on rayon, na jewels driv you down a van, ixwinoka faunaka, on paro venigwenyan, eradarman feithant, ixur nai bech hadasa. Akenar gevar gweri gwen, huyari prengenasa.
Chico Schwal with Linda Danielson on the Saturday Cafe, Adramane Minid, and Welsh Jigs on the Saturday. And my guests today, Chico and Linda and David Stewart Bull, they are performing their returning classic Celtic Holiday performance featuring A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. How are the reservations going? Is it crowding up yet?
I checked with... Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh my God.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's a cruel, cruel thing.
I heard that for the first time yesterday. This gentleman stopped me in the street and said, David Bove, Charles Christmas in Wales. He said, I said, yes. And he said, what? I said, I just spoke with Ib. And he said, oh, Ebenezer Scrooge. First time I'd heard it. All in jest, of course. The most generous man in the city of Eugene. But we are sold out. Our first performance is this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we're all full up for that. Monday evening, we're all filled up for that. And as I speak, I think we're filling up rapidly for the other dates too.
The other dates being Tuesday through Thursday, the 17th, 18th, 19th. And next Saturday and Sunday, 21st, 22nd, and then a final performance on Christmas Eve.
That's correct.
No, the
23rd. No, oh, the day before.
Christmas Eve squared. Christmas Eve.
Exactly. And the weekend performances are in the afternoon, and the weeknight performances are late nights. Do call the cafe for reservations.
Indeed. Well, I really, really need to hear a piece of this story. Please.
And off we go.
Mm-hmm.
For dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding. And after dinner, the uncles sat in front of the fire, loosened all buttons, put their large, moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts, and sisters scuttled to and fro, bearing tureens. Auntie Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and had some elderberry wine. The dog was sick. Auntie Dosie had to have three aspirins, but Auntie Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard, singing like a big bosom thrush. I would blow up balloons to see how big they would blow up to, and when they burst, which they all did, the uncles jumped and rumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, the uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending. I would sit among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model man of war following the instructions for little engineers and produce what might be mistaken for a seagoing tram car. Or I would go out, my bright new boots squeaking, into the white world, onto the seaward hill, to call on Jim and Dan and Jack, and to pad through the still streets, leaving huge, deep footprints on the hidden pavements. I bet people will think there's been hippos. What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down our street? I'd go like this, bang! I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the hill. And then I'd tickle him under the ear, and he'd wag his tail. What would you do if you saw two hippos? Iron flanked and bellowing, he hippos clanked and battered through the scudding snow towards us as we passed Mr. Daniel's house. Let's post Mr. Daniel a snowball through his letterbox. Let's write things in the snow. Let's write, Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel all over his lawn. Or we walked on the white shore. Can the fishes see it snowing?
Bravo, bravo.
It's so hard to stop once we're in the middle.
Why stop? We've got another 3 minutes before the break. Keep playing.
Do all of it this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And you're going to need the other instrument now.
Yeah.
And the flapping that I
there it is. Around here.
So how shall we wrap things up today? Ooh, lovely. Is that a cittern or a bouzouki? Or a mandocello? It's a large eight-stringed instrument.
Yep, it's a cittern, bouzouki, octave, mandolin, whatever you wish to call it. This one was made by a man named Ron Bellanger, who lives in Orillia, Ontario. I had to wait a year and a half for it.
So it would be a bouzoukwa.
Yes.
N'est-ce pas?
Okay, now back to a Welsh dialect in music anyway. And we'll do a jig and a slip jig and a nice little Welsh tune that eventually ended up crossing the border to be known as Miss Dolan's Delight among the English country dancers.
But of course in Welsh they call it Yr Esgob.
Don't think Miss
Dolan
would recognize
Welsh have a word for everything.
Okay, off we go.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Danielson, Chico Schwald, David Stewart, Bull, Celtic Christmas happening at Cafe Soraya. Call for reservations. Thank you again so much. It's wonderful having you back.
Thank you.
Our pleasure being here.